You know, I normally don't do Mother's Day messages. I usually get the other pastors to do that. Not because I don't want to do it. It's just that I've only done a couple of Mother's Day messages in over 30 some odd years, you know. But I always do a Father's Day message, but it's always about our Father in heaven. Amen. So this day, even though I was trying to pawn it off on other pastors, I was rejected. So you're gonna have to suffer with me through this Mother's Day message this morning. But here's what I want to do. I want to talk to not only all Christians, all fathers, everyone tuning in live. The message is for all of us, but specifically for moms. I want to talk to you from the sermon title of what God wants every mother to know, and I should say every mother to know and believe. Amen? And so when you think about Mother's Day, this day that, you know, our nation, we set this aside, 1914 when they passed a bill or whatever, a measure, that this became a national holiday. I think it was under President Woodrow Wilson. But, you know, it's amazing that America took that long to bring honor to mothers in a way, don't you think? Because Moses, when you think about Moses, for example, God led him to pen the fifth commandment 1,500 years before Christ Jesus was ever born. Amen? So the world took a long time to catch up about honoring mothers. Amen? So when you think about this day, we set it aside, and all of you, I know that I'm going to get flowers, or I'm going to send a nice card, I'm going to give mom a kiss, or ask her for money, I don't know, you know, something, and would you cook my breakfast, I don't know. But the thing is that, you know, we set that aside, and we do those things, but God says, you know, well, that's wonderful, but there's another gift that's the best gift to give to your mother. And that is what God requires of every child to do. And that is to honor your mother and your father. Amen? That is from the Ten Commandments, love. Well, let me give you the scripture, Exodus 20, verse 11. God says, honor your father, your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. Of course, back then, the land, of course, was Canaan. But it wasn't long after the fifth commandment was given that all of a sudden Moses had to write something else about children and honoring the mother and father. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, he says this, for everyone who curses his father, curses his mother, shall surely be put to death. Now, did you ever have that one right on the refrigerator? You know? How about this one? Deuteronomy 27, 16, he writes later on as well, cursed be anyone, not just the children of Israel, anyone who dishonors his father, his mother. And then Moses says, and all the people shall say amen. So let's say amen. That's a good word. And then later on, Solomon got into the picture about kids. And listen to what he said from Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father, his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. And then by the end of Proverbs, he writes in 30:17, he says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, listen carefully now, the ravens of the valley will pick it out. That, you know, the eye? And the young eagles will eat it. Now, parents, listen to me. Becky and I, you know, were really good parents. We were good parents. And so what we did immediately when Thomas had his own room, we put that scripture on the wall. And we did it to where it would glow in the dark. Now, so if you ever want to do something good, that's exactly what you need to do. Amen? But, you know, when we say honor your mother, that's much more than just obeying your mother. Amen? The word honor, we get our English word ornament, okay? Like she's a treasure to be, she's precious and so forth, and she is to be honored. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, many of you know that, you know, I didn't have a very good childhood, which that's the way it goes, and I didn't really know my dad that well, didn't really know my mother that well, but I tell you what I did as a little boy. I envied the kids at school who, you know, to see your mom pick you up, you know, I mean, this is the 50s, hello? This was the 50s. Hello? You know, to see your mom pick you up or hand you the little lunchbox that was back then, it was a sack, you know, and wrapped in newspaper, you know, and I don't know, I envied that. You know, I walked to school with dirty clothes on, my hair was disheveled, and I didn't have any lunch money. And you know what I did? I made friends with all the rich little kids so I could go home and have dinner with them, because there was no dinner at my house, okay? So I envied them, but what's sad is I don't believe I ever honored my mom. I didn't even know I was supposed to. And I know I never honored my daddy, and I wish I had it, but I didn't know. So that is a powerful word, to honor your mom and dad. So what I want to talk to the moms about this morning is what God wants every mother to know and believe. The first one is this, that motherhood is just not a simple calling. Motherhood is one of the highest callings in all of the earth. Amen? There is no one like a mother. And think of it, moms. Here you are, you work so hard, and the baby comes into the world. And besides the doctor, you're usually the first one to hold the baby, first one to kiss the baby, the first one to change the baby's diaper, the first one to bathe the baby. Amen? And you're the first one to hear those words out of your baby's mouth, Daddy. I mean, that's got to blow you away, right? And that's just the way it works. And so, but God wants you to know something. Not only is it a high calling, but God wants you to know, every mother to know, about their children. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127:3, behold, that's a very important word. Behold means to not look from a distance. It means to get very close. Behold, where you can see clearly what God is wanting to tell you. He wants you to examine it. He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage, meaning they are a gift to you from Almighty God. Amen? That's what that means. They belong to God. You're stewards over them, all right? So it says, behold, children are a heritage or a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, meaning a reward from God. Not an inconvenience from God, but a reward from God. And children are not your achievement. Do you follow me? My children make all A's. Praise the Lord, they should be. I guess, amen? But no, they're not like, look what I have done. They're not your achievement, loved one. They are God's gift to you. They're God's reward to you. Now, if they're God's gift to you, I want you to just imagine, if you receive a gift, you have to unwrap it, don't you? Okay, how do you unwrap your children's life over all those years? Because once a mom, you're always a mom. Once a father, you're always a father. And how do you do that, loved one? And I know that kids can drive you crazy, but God didn't give you children to drive you crazy. Now, I don't know if I can prove that, but... But, you know, I mean, have you ever read, you know, like, or they weren't given to give you a headache either. Man, these are driving me crazy. I have a headache. You know, these kids are driving me nuts. You know, have you ever read on the back of an aspirin bottle, it says, keep this away from children? You need to stay away from children too then. You have to get that headache. Amen? No. So we look at all these things, and then it says, it follows up. God says this in his word, Psalm 127:4, about children. They are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. When you're a young dad, a young mom, happy is the man, and we can say happy is the mom, whose quiver, remember a quiver is full of arrows, that is full of them. So God says, you know what, your children, they're like arrows. They're like weapons in the hand of warrior parents, if you will, okay? And you raise them up to be defenders of the truth of God. And you know what? That's what unshakable parents do. Unshakable parents, they raise unshakable children. Now listen, unshakable parents prepare, that's a better word, prepare unshakable children. It is a tragedy for to have children, for Christians, to have children, but you don't prepare them for the world that they're going to come into. When they come into the world, does a child know that there's an enemy called the devil? No. Do they know that there's wickedness and evil and darkness and that most of our world is designed to destroy a child's life? Do they know that? No. If you don't prepare them, who's going to do it? So it's a tragedy not to do so. Now listen, our kids live in a dark world, and they live in a darker world today. Now, not every woman is going to be a mother, okay? But every woman that is a mother, I encourage you to take it as a very, very serious responsibility. Because in God's eyes, a mother is valuable, and I can assure you that a mother is priceless to her child. Amen? So you don't want to forsake your calling. You want to do what the Lord says. Now, with all that being said, would you turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 2, and let's look on this Mother's Day, begin in verse 15 with me. Genesis 2, shouldn't be hard to find, first book of the Bible. And then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Now, the word keep there means to guard. So, obviously, God had informed him that there was an intruder in the garden, and we know that to be the serpent, okay? So, he put him in the Garden of Eden to keep it. Tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you shall surely die." Now watch verse 18. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper.'" I will make him a helper. Now watch this. "Comparable to him." Now listen, who created mothers? God. It was God's idea. What? Don't you think that's a wonderful idea? Aren't mothers wonderful? No, really, think about it. God knows what children need, and he also knows that men need a helper. And that's why God created a woman there. You know, man needs a helper. They need someone to mow the yard. They need someone to do the dishes. We need help. Amen? And someone, who said preach it, Bill? Who is that? No, that's not what that means, is it? No, helper is a divine word. The word zeal in Hebrew. It's a divine word. It's a divine function. It's from God. It's not a demeaning word. It's a holy word. That is a word spoken by God himself. Amen? Not man. Men should never, pastors should never make that word helper a demeaning word. That's horrible. It's a divine function because actually woman completes man. Amen? He says, it's not good for you to be alone. You've got to have someone else. And God says, I know exactly what you need. So the word helper, that word's even used for the Holy Spirit, is the helper. It's a divine word. How about this one? Psalm 54:4, "Behold, God is my azeel," or my helper. So, man, listen, I pray that every man finds a zeal. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a good wife, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Say good thing. Good thing. We could even write a song, right? Country and Western song, huh? No, and it says, and obtains favor from the Lord. Now look at verse 19 there in Genesis 2. "And so out of the ground the Lord God formed," or literally he had formed, "every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought to Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Can you imagine that? God is so tender. I mean, he's right there with Adam. He's bringing all the creatures of his creation right to Adam just to see what Adam would call them, and also that he would find out how lonely he really was, because all of creation is going to have a partner but him, okay? And so Adam, he called names to all the cattle, birds of the air, every beast of the field. Do you ever wonder why he didn't name fish? Never mind. Here it comes. "But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." What a day that must have been, all those animals coming. Y'all know that Bob Dylan became a Christian, don't you? Never mind. Did you ever listen to any of his music? One of my favorite songs that he does on one Slow Train Coming album is about the naming of the animals. Anybody ever heard that? The three of you. You remember how it goes, God, man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Remember that? Let me read another one. He saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, real dirty face and a curly tail. Wasn't too small, wasn't too big. Ah, I think I'll call him a pig. Never mind. That is a great album, by the way. I don't think Adam did it like that, but it was pretty good. Now listen, so Adam did something. He realized that everyone in creation, there was no one found to be compatible to him. So look what God does. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep, that divine anesthetic, to fall on Adam. Adam slept, and look what God did. He took only one of his ribs from his side, loved one, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then, look what he did. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, God made into a woman. He designed into a woman. He built or constructed into a woman. Is that unbelievable? He took the rib there. Literally, the word rib is used 35 times in the Old Covenant, I believe. And it literally means from his side, okay? So the flesh and the rib and so forth. And so he brought her, meaning Eve, brought her, the woman, to the man. So there you have the first woman. So God took one rib from Adam, which means now woman is part of man. Only Adam came from the dust of the ground. Amen? Only Adam. Isn't that amazing? But Eve, only Eve and no other woman, by the way, only Eve came from the side of her husband, all right? Adam. Now, so we have the first woman who was from man. It says in 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Have you ever studied out how many verses God records for the creation of when he created man? One. Do you know how many it took when he created women? Woman? Six. Six plus one is? You look worried. Seven. It's it. It's seven. Seven. Is seven God's favorite number? Yes. Okay. So what is he saying? He's saying that man, woman, Adam, Eve, they together make up humanity, if you will, okay? The perfect humanity. Now look at verse 23. And Adam said, when God brought Eve to him, he said, Adam said, oh, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And look, he has one more person to name. She shall be called Isha, or woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, do you know that Adam named his wife again? Over in chapter 3, verse 20, he calls her name Eve because she is the mother of all living. So he writes and he says to her, he says, she shall be called woman, okay? And so Adam, when he saw her, did he see Eve as a separate person? No. He said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And then he prophesies to her. Look at verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father, mother, and be joined or glued to his wife. Now, question, did Adam and Eve have a mother? No. So he's prophesying, isn't he? All right. And he says, they, male and female, they shall become what? One flesh. Just like the miracle of the marriage covenant, when we get married, God makes us one flesh. Now, and they were both naked. No wedding dress, you follow me. No tuxedo. They weren't poorly clad. They were naked. And the man and his wife, they were not what? You know what he's saying? The Lord is saying that when they were there together and they were naked, meaning that there was a complete trust in both of them. They trusted, they loved one another, they trusted one another. Now, I believe in Genesis, verse 25, where we just read, belongs in chapter 3, verse 1, because that's when the enemy, the serpent, comes into the scene, and Eve, who had never doubted in her life, is getting ready to doubt God. Amen? Now, so I said all of that to set this up. Women, listen to me. Mothers, women, all of you. The fact is, what God wants every mother to know is that you have an enemy. Amen? And that enemy is the wicked one. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:14, it says, Adam was not deceived. Did Adam willfully sin? Yes. Eve is the one who took the fruit, gave it to him. He knew that he was not supposed to do that. He knew the command, don't eat of this tree. If you do, the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die. And he took the fruit. He willfully sinned. But it says the woman, in 1 Timothy 2:14, it said, but the woman being deceived, she didn't know she was being deceived. She was deceived, fell into transgression or crossed the line. She crossed over the line of the commandment of God. Now, mothers, listen, women in every generation, they should listen to this. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that a woman, a mother, is Satan's favorite target. He loves it. He wants to discourage you. He wants to beat you down. He doesn't want you to ever do what God wants you to do, especially concerning children. You know that. Do you know what I'm saying? He wants to make it as hard as he can. And you say, well, Bill, women are his favorite target. Can you prove it? Absolutely, I can prove it. And the way I can prove it is this. Let me ask you a series of questions. The first person that Satan ever attacked on earth was a... Okay. It's the first person Satan ever tempted on earth was a... The first person that Satan ever deceived on earth was a... The first person that Satan told a lie to was a... And the first person who believed that lie was a... And you know the rest of the story, amen? See, he doesn't like women. He hates women. Listen to me, mothers, you need to be very careful because, see, Satan can only lie to you, and he is still lying to you today. Being a mother is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to mankind. It's one of the most important callings in all of the world. Have you ever read about Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States? You know, he suffered greatly. He lost people that he loved. It's sad. But his mother, and he loved his mother, and his mother loved him. His mother died when he was only 9 years old. Do you know what he wrote about his mother? Let me just read it to you. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am, all that I hope to be, I owe to my mother." He says, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." Man, the value of a godly mother. You know, I would have given anything in my life to have had a godly upbringing. You know, my mother, you've probably heard me mention this, she, 62 years ago today, you know, Mother's Day, she died. She was 49 years old. She was killed in a car wreck. Two drunks were driving, and they had a head-on collision. You know, I've often wondered about that day, not knowing her, not really understanding her life and all the things that she did. And I know that sometimes women feel cheated and robbed. I think she felt that way because she was always seeking the next day or the next happiness or the next thrill or whatever it was. It finally killed her. And you know, she missed out on what it was all about because, listen, God says that every child needs a godly mother. Amen? The world doesn't say that. The world won't tell you that they need a godly mother. The wicked one won't tell you that. Listen, you know what? The world will do anything to a Christian mother and to all the other. We're talking about Christians today. Do anything to make you feel that you're missing out on life. I'm trapped now. I've got a child, and I love my child, but I'm just trapped, and my freedom is gone. That is a lie. Your child is and will always be, no matter what happens, a gift from God. Amen? Now, children today, do they live in a war zone? Man, this is, we live in a bad time. I mean, we live in a culture that's literally trying to find their wisdom and their way as they grope through the darkness of this world. I mean, our culture today, more than any other time, we have lost our moral compass. You know, I'll never forget the day. I told this church on that day back in, what was it, 2012, 2015, that Friday, when the Supreme Court of the United States, our Supreme Court justices, they approved and voted in same-sex marriage. Remember that day? You know what? I said that day, I said, our country, our president has opened a Pandora box full of darkness that we're only going to see as it progresses. And you know what happened the day that they did that? And here we are today after all these years. What has that resulted in? Have you noticed what they've done? They said, well, our laws now are, they're biased and they're sex discrimination. We're not going to call parents mother and father. We're going to change our language in the laws. We're going to say they're just parents. You follow me? Or we're going to, it's not brother and sister, it's just siblings. And now what is it? The trans generation, gender dysphoria, pronouns, all the insanity. Boy, listen, don't you think a mother and father, do you need to prepare your kids? Do you need to protect your kids? Boy, I'm telling you. So what in the world does a mother, I'm talking to moms, but everybody, what does a mother do as she raises her child in this type of environment in the generation we live in? There's only one thing you can do and you should do and you should want to do, and that is trust God. Amen? Trust the Lord. Listen, God wants every mother to know and believe that everything you trust in this life, everything can fail you. Can fail you. Did you know that? Everything in this life, can it let you down? Can your friends let you down? Can your family let you down? Can your workplace let you down? Can your children let you down? Can your husband let you down? Everything, never. Here comes the lightning. Ah! No. Mom, let me ask you a question now. Let me ask you a question. And I don't mean to, just think about this. I'm not beating you up. How many times, how many promises have you made to yourself, but you failed to keep them? How many times have you let you down? That's very important. How many times have I let me down? How many times have we let each other down? Amen? Come on. Yeah, listen, you know, how many times have you trusted in self, Mom? Trusted in you, your wisdom, whatever, and all of a sudden it just fell apart. Listen, you know what I've learned? Listen, we cannot trust sinners, okay? Are we all sinners? Saved, thank God. But can we trust each other? Well, yeah, but then all of a sudden, can we let each other down? You know, I was invited at a pastor's conference, I don't know how many years ago, and they said, Bill, they gave you topics, you know. They said, here's the topic we want you to teach the pastors. And I said, okay, what is it? And they said, give us 10 things that pastors should know and do. Well, number 10 was, I closed with, pastors, here's the thing. I want you to never forget this. Love everybody, but trust no one. See, it's okay to love each other, but I'm not to put my trust in you. Amen? We need to be trustworthy. Christians are called to be trustworthy. Wives, husbands are called to be trustworthy, but are we always trustworthy? No, isn't that sad? But I'll tell you, someone who is always trustworthy and that you can always go to him and he will never let you down. The Bible says if you, mom, if you trust in yourself, listen, Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart, God says, you're a fool. Boy, the heart is wicked, amen? It's deceitful above all things. No, mothers, listen, God will never let you down and you can trust him. You know why? God never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. Yeah, he will never let you down. Listen, all Eve had to do in the Garden of Eden was one thing. She had only one command, not a series of command, one command. Do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, meaning die spiritually, but also die physically. But just one command. But she blew it. She did not trust the word of the living God. Moms, listen, the Bible tells you something about trusting God. It says in Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him or her in perfect peace. Anybody need perfect peace today? He says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep it stayed upon me. And the reason you do that is because God says, you trust in me. Because you trust in me. He says, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Meaning, everlasting strength is a strength that never changes. Now listen, being a mother is hard. Like I said in my prayer, it's a double-edged sword. There's nothing more joyous, and there's nothing more that can hurt you more. Amen? Even with Mary, the mother of our Lord, what did Simeon prophesy? He said, oh, a sword's going to pierce your heart. You know? And a mother's heart can be so broken. It's so hard. And you know what? Moms, listen, I know. I'm old now. I remember. You never get a break from being a mother. I mean, listen, Willa was over at the house the other day. I mean, don't bring her over at night, man. I'm old. No, I go to bed early. I mean, I have dinner, and I'll go to sleep in my chair. I mean, isn't that embarrassing? But now when you catch me, you know, at 5 in the morning, don't mess with me. I have strength. By noon, I start fading, okay? So anyway, I was so exhausted when she left. I thought every bone in my body was aching, okay? Because I just can't do it. But the thing is that moms, man, you never get a break. You never get a break. It's ongoing. And I know that, and God knows that. But he says something. He says, perfect peace is available if you'll quit trusting in everything else, looking to everything else, and trust in me. Amen? He said that perfect peace is available. He says, because you trust in God. And here's what happens, moms. Now listen, it's all Christians, but especially with mothers. You know, if you are double-minded, see, without faith in God, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Amen? Okay. Without faith, your mind becomes double-minded. Remember James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so you have to believe the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. I know you're going to get me through it no matter what I'm facing. Listen to what Job said about trust in Job 42:1. Job said to the Lord, hey, I know, look, let me stop. Was Job suffering? Man, did he lose everything? Okay. He says, I know that you can do everything. Do you believe that? Okay. He says, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Every mother, every Christian needs that biblical worldview. God can do anything. Amen. Listen, one scripture, mothers that I go to often, Psalm 37, where it says, trust in the Lord. Not in anything, just the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Well, wherever you live, dwell in the land. And then he tells you why you're there to do something. Feed on his faithfulness. Is God faithful? He's always faithful. Feed on that. Listen, I can look back and I can go all the way back, and he's in all the faithfulness of God in my life. He has never let me down, although I felt maybe he was, but he didn't. He has never let me down. He will never let you down. But you have to feed on that faithfulness, because if you don't, the devil put stuff in your mind. He think you're wasting your life. All these things. It's horrible what's happening today. And then he says, delight yourself in the Lord. Not your husband. It's okay to do that. But delight yourself in the Lord, and he, not your husband, not your children, he will give you the desires of your heart. Only God knows a person's heart. Amen? Only God. And he said, I want to do that for you. So, you know, all of us know that in this life, you know, that all of us are going to trust in something or someone. Amen? But whatever we trust in, Christian, in this life, that's what we believe in. Psalm 68:2, a great scripture, it says, trust in the Lord at all times. Amen? No, all times. No matter what it is, ups, down, all times, trust in the Lord. It says, you people, listen, let me say something. I started thinking about that scripture. It says, trust in the Lord all the time, at all times. And I was thinking about how much time I've wasted in my life by not trusting in the Lord. Amen? Oh, what a mistake that is. He says, trust in the Lord at all times, you people. And he says, pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. Listen, moms, you got a hard life, especially today. I mean, of course, you're not out there like in the pioneer days. You don't have to a kettle outside and take it down to the creek and draw water and, you know, you wash the pots and pans and get the clothes. You know, we don't, right? We load the dishwasher, you know. But you know what? I know what it's like when you have a sick child. Boy, parents, especially when they're little and they can't tell you what's wrong. Oh, doesn't that just kill you? And I've said it, you've said it. If they could only just tell me why they're crying, why they're hurting and screaming, and where they, you know, because we're and so forth. I mean, how moms listen? You think about it. You know, it says trust God at all times. Here you are. You're up all night with a sick, vomiting baby in the diapers. Oh, you know, sick. And there you are. You're suffering all that, and the husband's sound asleep. Isn't that the truth? I remember rolling over many nights. Well, I didn't hear a thing. Get that kid out of here. No. So the husband gets up in the morning. I've got to go to work. I'm sorry. I've got to make a living, you know. And the wife, she's been up all night, you know, and cleaning up this baby, is vomiting and diarrhea and all the rest of that. Said, I've got to take him to the doctor. And if you're a mother that has the little baby at home and then maybe a two-year-old, so you got another child, you're going to the doctor's office, and then the two-year-old has a meltdown at the doctor's office. Of course, that never happens, right? And I mean, and there you are. I mean, what does God say to you to do? He says, pour out your heart to me. He sees he knows your anxiety. He knows all that you're going through. He says, pour out your heart to me. Empty your heart to me. I love you. I care for you. The Bible, listen, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care, your anxiety, whatever that is tearing your life apart, it could be children, could be husbands, wives, finances, sickness, casting all your care upon him, God, for he careth for you. Did you know that is not a suggestion in the Bible? That is a command from God. God loves you, mothers, all of us, so much. He says, whatever you are going through, whatever is causing you anxiety and fear and feeling that you're not worthy, whatever it might be that you're failing and all the rest of it, he says, you get that off of you right now. He's commanding it. And you let me have it. That's how much God loves mothers and all of us. Amen? And that's what we're to do, loved one. And so we trust him. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'm sure that every Christian knows this scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Lean not, don't let this support you, lean not onto your own understanding, your own intellectualism, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. But do something. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Okay, Lord, you see what's happening. You know what's happening. I acknowledge you. I need your help. And it says, he shall what? Hebrew, direct, make smooth, make level, make prosperous. Again, I've always defined that. It could be going uphill, but it's still proper, okay? Okay. He shall direct thy steps or thy path. That's what God will do for you. But you have to trust in him. Now, Something else that God wants every mother to know, to believe, there is only one way to raise your children. Now, I know that doesn't set well with a lot of people in this 21st century, but there's only one way to raise your children, and that is God's way, because they belong to God. There's a million books written every year about how to raise your children. I don't fault that at all, but you know what? We have the greatest book of truth in the world, amen? God knows how you should raise your children. And so it's important. So turn in your Bibles with me then to Ephesians chapter 6 on this Mother's Day, verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1. So the children that you have which belong to the Lord, look what he says to do. Children, obey. That word means to listen. Children, listen and then submit, obey. Do what's right. Children, obey your parents. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you wish it was just that easy? Did you just read it to your child? Children, obey me. Oh, you know, does that work? No, it doesn't. Children, obey your parents, and look how we're to do it. In the Lord, why? Well, this is right. Now, you'll notice that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 only goes to verse 4. God gives you only four verses for the most demanding role that there is, and that's raising your children. And he says, and this is right. Now, God says it's right. He didn't say the world says it's right. He says God says it's right. This is my way. Why? Because God is always right. Amen? Yes. Now, look what he says to do. He says, honor, treat as precious, honor your father, your mother, first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, did you notice something, mothers? It did not say, children, love your mothers, love your daddies. Did it say that? No. Why? Why? I mean, you know why? Listen, all children love their parents. And even when you get older, listen, even today, I can say, I love my mother. I don't understand her. I don't know why she did what she did. I don't know why my daddy did what he did. But I love them. They were my mother, my father. Amen. Yeah. That's important. Children love their, they look at them, they love them. It's automatic. But listen, parents, mom, dad, you know, when it comes to obedience, you say, well, children obey. You can't make them honor you. You can't do that at all. In other words, I'm going to force this. You're going to honor me. Well, no, you have to, number one, give them something to honor. Amen. And the way that children honor their mother and honor their daddy, the way that that happens is because they both, but I'm talking to mothers, moms live a godly, Christ-like life, verbally, physically, in their life in front of their children. There is nothing greater. There is nothing greater than to have that in a child's life. There is a supernatural peace that's there because you are obeying the Lord. Amen? That is so, so important. Then it says, look now, it says, and you fathers, and that means and mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, that deals with words on how not to train your child. Words meaning don't speak demeaning words ever to your children. Don't ever cut them down. It's horrible for that to happen. So it says, fathers, mothers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or the discipline and the admonition. That word means instruction. Literally, it's putting something into the child's mind, which is the word of God, okay? Because it says, bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. So it all centers around Jesus. Now listen, do you know, does that take time? Yes. It's not automatic. Listen, that's called investing in your children year after year after year after year. And boy, the fruit of that, it finally pays off. They may get rebellious in their teenage years, but you've done your job. Are you following me? The word of God, when it goes out, will it ever return void? No, it accomplishes. And I'll tell you what, they'll hang out, they'll do this, but they're guilty. They know they're wrong because you did your job, loved one. So listen to me. What God wants every mother, every father, but every mother to know and to believe that to be raised in a Christian home is one of the greatest, greatest, greatest privileges on this planet. Amen? Oh, to be raised in a home where everybody loves Jesus. Amen? To be raised in a home where the Bible isn't just simply read, where the Bible is actually believed. To live in a home where the child has a real mom and a real dad, not some hypocritical mother or hypocritical daddy, where they're real dad, real mother, and they're faced with real problems in life, and their children grow up watching their mom, their dad, face real problems in life by looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of their faith. Amen? That's how you do it. And there's not another way. That is God's way, and that's what He wants you to do. You know, some parents today say, well, Bill, I don't have time. Listen, I know it's hard, and I know that today it takes two incomes to make it, okay? I mean, it does. It takes a lot of money to live today. You know, but I also know this. I encourage parents to, when you have children, pray and ask God, what do you want me to do? I have my career. Do you want me to stay home? What do you want? Becky did that. And she worked up until the very day that Thomas came into this world. And she said, told me, honey, let's believe God that I don't have to work, but I want to take care of Thomas and raise him. I said, okay, let's believe God. And we did. She never worked outside. She worked, but never outside the home until he graduated from high school. And God provided extravagantly? No. Did we do without? Yes. But we didn't care. Amen? God provided. We never went without. And so God is always faithful, loved one. But man, to grow up in a home like that. Listen, mothers, I'm talking to moms and dads, but just moms right now. You are their role model. And what you do in the home, they see. Amen. Okay, listen. If you want selfish children, moms, dads, but I'm talking to moms. Moms, be selfish. Just that simple. You want lazy kids? Be lazy. Because whatever you lifestyle, you model, do you think your kids are going to pick that up? Huh? Come on. Kaylee, I think it was, or Thomas, I don't know who it was, they sent me Becky, and then Becky gives it to me. I have a library so full of photos and videos that Google or whoever it is that keeps all that stuff is going to charge me a fortune, I'm sure. But anyway, so Kaylee is in the kitchen and she's standing there at the, you know, where you put silverware in the drawer, and there's a dishwasher, and then there's Willa. And so Willa is looking, she's so serious too. I mean, this is like a major undertaking. And she sees all the silverware, and she sees Mama standing there. And so Kaylee says, give me this. And so she'll bend down and pick up the fork and give it to her. And she did until the whole thing was empty. Well, was that training? Yes. I mean, it is training. I mean, everything you do. Listen, when Thomas was a little guy and I go out and mow the yard, you know what he wanted to do? Mow the yard until he was a teenager. He didn't want to mow it after that. No. See, something happens then. Oh, I don't know what it is. But no, you start thinking about all that. Everything we do, we're training, loved one. Listen, that is so, so important. And so whatever you do in the home, you are that role model. See, you don't go, moms listen, dads too, but mothers. You don't tell your kids, okay, go pray. Get in your room, pray. No, you can say, let me teach you to pray. You don't say, go read your Bible. You say, let me train you to read your Bible. Amen? That's what it's all about. You know, you teach your children that the Bible is our authority. The Bible is his or her authority. Not the government, not your school, not your friends, but the living Word of God is the authority, not only in the home, but in your lives. When you sit down at the dinner table and you eat, listen to me, and you pray, you bow your heads and pray, are you teaching your children? Yes. Absolutely, loved one. You're their model. And here's the problem today in the church. And listen, I've been a pastor a long time, and I hate to see these things, but the parents abdicate the role of teaching their children to the church. Don't do that. Their children are only here a couple hours a week. Amen? See, if your children don't see prayer and Bible study and forgiveness and loving one another and doing what's right at home, and they go to church and they're taught those things, do you think they're going to get confused when they don't see them at home but they see them here? Of course. That's why nothing can take the place of the Christian home, loved one. It's so, so important. And listen, you better protect your kids. Protect them. We live in a world, listen, the internet's wicked. I don't mean to offend any parent, but listen to me. An iPhone is not a babysitter. Okay? I'm sorry. It's just not. So you have to prepare your children, you know, so they can prepare their children. Amen? Because the next generation that they're in is going to be more wicked than their generation. The generation I came from was not anything as wicked as this generation. Do you understand? Oh, it's like unbelievable. So you have to prepare them. A mother's impact. Oh, listen, a godly woman, you know what a godly woman does, a godly mother? She literally represents the heart of Jesus Christ to her children. She leaves a legacy, an impact. I was reading a book by, Jackie Hill Berry the other day. And I read, it's called Holier Than Thou. It's a great book. And she, in the opening of the first page of the book, she dedicates this book to her children. This mother dedicates the book to her children. Let me just read a portion of it. She writes to her three children, dedicating the book to them. She says, "This work wasn't written for you, but around you. While you played, I studied, thought deeply about the nature of God. And while you were away at school or in your rooms, I wrote as much of it as I could. Now, at times, you interrupted me, and with the want to tell me something or show me something. And whatever you did, well, I thought to myself, this is holy too. There is a childlike purity in the way each of you look to me for most things." Now listen to what she says. "I pray that what is written next in this book she was writing is what you have seen me obey, so that when each of you is old enough to read Mommy's words and understand the holy God it explains, that if you and when you make the decision to be like Mommy, my example actually means you will be more like God." What a word. What a word is that? What a heart is that? You know, and I know, now listen, I know that parenting, being a mother, father, whatever, loved one, listen to me. I know that sometimes you look at the scriptures and or look at life, you look at what's happening around you with your children and you go, "Bill, it's just impossible. It's just impossible to do all of it." Now I want to say something to you about what God wants every mother, every single mother, every grandmother raising their children's children, and every Christian to know. God sees, God knows, and God cares. Amen? Mothers, listen to me now. I just want to read what I wrote down. And I said, "Moms, do these words describe you?" Here they are: exhausted, frustrated, worn out, beat down, all alone. Things will never change. There is no more help. There is no way out. There's no one who cares. I feel like a failure. As a wife, as a mother, my children are out of control. My life seems out of control. My home is one big storm. If anyone here If that's you, I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you, and everyone should listen to what I'm about to say, because this is what God wants every mother, every Christian, everyone to know, and that's this, if that's you. You need to remove a specific word from your everyday thinking and your everyday vocabulary. And the word that I'm talking about is mentioned only 9 times in the Bible. And that word is impossible. Say that word, impossible. Never let it be said again. That word impossible. Remember when the demon, that little boy that was demon possessed, and the father, you know, the demon would throw the boy in the water and in the fire and all that, and the disciples tried to cast out the demon but could not. They came to Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, why could we not cast out this demon?" Because the father brought him to Jesus. Jesus cast him out immediately. Jesus looked at them, and it says in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to the disciples, well, here's the reason. I added that, but this is why. He says, because of your unbelief. Isn't that amazing? He didn't baby them. He said, because of your unbelief. He says, for assuredly, that's amen and amen in the Bible. In other words, it's immutable, it's unchangeable, it's the absolute perfect truth. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, how big is a mustard seed? It's the smallest of all herbs, loved one. Faith is faith. You want big faith, you got big faith. You want little faith, it's still a seed, okay? Faith is faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. He's not talking about mountains, okay? And listen to what Jesus said. This is from the lips of my Savior and your Savior. He says, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. Whenever the rich man, remember the rich man that came to Jesus and fell down before, oh, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know, keep the commands. Oh, I've kept them all, Lord, you know. And Jesus said, oh, thou lackest one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And it says, in the rich young ruler, he left sorrowful because he had many possessions. Remember the story. And Jesus then said something. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples went, oh my, who can be saved then? Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them, I love that, and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Did you hear me? With God, not you, with God, not with a denomination, not with Calvary Chapel, not with any Baptist or whatever. It's with God your Father, all things are possible. Amen. When Mary asked the angel Gabriel, said, listen, when he said, you're going to have a baby and you're the Son of the Most High and all that, and he said, well, wait, I need to ask you a question. He said, how am I going to have a babe be when I have not ever known a man? And what did Gabriel say to her in Luke 1:37? He said, well, what? He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you understand what I just said? I didn't say it. God said it. Nothing will be impossible. Why? God cannot lie. Are all of his promises yes and amen in Christ Jesus? Okay, they're all true. I don't define when I'm going to get them. I don't, you know, but the fact of the matter is they're all true, and I believe they're all true. Now listen, I don't have this word in my life, and I refuse to even live by it. And that is this one word, and that is the word impossible. I have lived an impossible life. An impossible life. You have no idea. I say that with a humble heart. I don't want you to know. But that word, impossible, should be removed from your lips, from your home, from your thinking, You should remove it from your children's lips right this minute. It is a dirty, filthy word to me. It is a cuss word to me. Do you understand? Because I know my God, and my God said this, with me, Bill, with me, nothing can be impossible. Nothing, no matter what it is, no matter what I am facing, no matter what's going on in my life. Listen, you know what God wants every mother to know and every Christian to know? Nothing's too hard for him. You know what he wants you to know if you're going through it right now? He's saying, listen, don't you know that I love you and my help is on the way? My manifested help is on the way. And you know why? Because with me, not with you, when you don't know the way out, you don't know which way to go, but with me, all things are possible. Amen? There is nothing impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to him. But the fact is, we have his word, we have his Holy Spirit, we have his strength living in us, we have the promises of God, but do you believe the promises of God? Because without faith, it is impossible. But with faith, it is, yes, it's possible. With God, nothing, nothing, nothing. I told the early service, long before Thomas was born, Becky and I were teaching in house churches, and 100 kids would fill that house up. It was incredible. And one night I preached on my life scripture, John 8:32. You shall know that Jesus said, you'll know the truth set you free. And that was my life scripture, still is. So I preached that night on that, and there was a bunch of teens getting ready to leave for college. And so they all left and so forth. And then about 20 minutes later, a knock came on the door. And it was a little short, blonde-headed boy, and I still know him today. And he said, Bill, can I come in? I said, well, sure. He said, tonight, you know, I said, I don't really know God. I go to church, and he said, but you said that Jesus can set me free. You said, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I said, that's right. And he said, I'm not free. Now, listen, this kid was from a family, the wealthiest family in that city where Becky and I, we were at. His father was a prominent doctor. And he came to me, and he says, I'm not free. I'm in trouble. I'm a drug addict. I said, what? He reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a plastic bag packed with pills. And see, his dad was a doctor. He got him. And he was addicted. And he says, I can't get free. And I looked at him and I said, do you believe that Jesus will set you free? He said, that's what you just taught. And I said, if you will take those drugs right now, go into my bathroom down the hallway. I want you to put them all in the toilet and I want you to flush it. And I want you to come back. And when you come back, God's going to set you free because with God. Because with God. I said, because with God, all things are possible. He went into that restroom. I heard that toilet flush. He walked out. He looked at me, and it was almost like as he was approaching me, I saw a man change before my very eyes. He was set free instantly. And do you know that he is a prominent doctor today? Yes. Why? Because with God. With God. In this church, you've got to wake up. You've got to remove that word from your workplace, your home place, your prayer life. I had a dream many years ago. I'm closing. Okay, just hold on. I'll be through. Matter of fact, I think the dream was in 2016, but I've never forgotten it because it was a dream about mothers. So weird. And I saw this mother in my dream. She was in a big room. It was a dark room, and there was not one thing in that room, nothing. And she would go over here and go to this corner, but there's not a door. There was nothing. And she would just go back and forth. And I saw her face, and it was horrible. I mean, she was all alone looking for provision in that space, in that room, but there wasn't any. And I saw her face, how defeated, how desperate, how exhausted. And then suddenly, the wall of that room, one of the walls, it just collapsed, or literally, it didn't collapse, it vanished before my eyes in my dream and before her. And right as she was standing where that wall vanished, there was a gigantic cupboard or a pantry full of all of God's supernatural provision. And you say, well, Bill, why are you telling me that? Because I'm speaking now to every mother that's here. I want you to listen to me now. The Bible says, God says in Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord your God. Is God our Lord? Does he love us? I am the Lord thy God, my God, that brought you out of Egypt. Now, Egypt to a Christian is the world. Are we part of the world now? Okay. Brought you out of the world. And here's what God says to do. He says, open your mouth wide. Open. Now, what does that mean? Open your mouth wide. He says, mothers, listen to me. To open your mouth means to pray. James 4:4, you have not because you ask not. Did Jesus tell us to seek and to knock and to ask? So prayer is, open your mouth, pray. And then he says, open your mouth wide. What does that mean? What does wide mean? It means to ask God, because if you're in an impossible situation, he says, ask me for the impossible. You hear me? The impossible, whatever you're facing, my impossible children, my impossible home, my impossible health, whatever is impossible in your life, you feel that way. He says, open your mouth wide, pray wide. Pray and ask for the impossible. Why? Ephesians 3:20. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us. Amen? He can do anything. With God, all things are possible. And you know what he says to do then? He says, okay, open your mouth wide. And God makes a promise. He says, I will fill it. I will fill it. I will fill it with every head bowed and every eye closed. Here we are as a family. Moms, listen to me. Everybody listen to me, but moms in particular. If you're here and you're going, you know what? I feel like I failed as a mother. My home is a wreck. My marriage is a wreck. Everything is like, Bill, I'm facing impossible circumstances. God says, if you will open your mouth right now, if you will open it wide, if you will believe in me, because with me, God says, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for me. Listen, if that's any of you right now, don't do anything. Just our heads are bowed. Would you lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. Yes, 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 God bless. Yes, that's right. That's me. Just lift it high and put it right back down. Anyone else before I finish now? Yes, I see that. That's right. Oh, God. Anyone else just say, I need God to do the impossible for me now. God bless you. That's right. Lord, they're your children. They believe your word. They lifted their hands. They need the impossible done. And with you, all things are possible. So right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, fill them. Lord, fill them with the assurance that all things are going to work out according to your plan. Give them what they need. Let them expect it. Let them expect it right now. In the greatest name in the universe, we believe it. We receive it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.